All right. If you wouldn't mind, stand on your feet for the reading of the word of the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2. And then Hebrews chapter 3. But first, Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2. And then Hebrews chapter 3. Praise God. Do you feel the Spirit in this house? Now, I am a little under the weather, which usually means I'm probably going to preach harder just to keep myself energized. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 2. If you have it, say amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 2. Listen to this. It says, there are 11 days. I'm going to say 11 days. Journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir unto Kadesh Barnea. Pastor Barlow, what in the world does that mean? What it means is it was only an 11-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. Just 11 days. That's all it was. All right. Hebrews chapter 3. And we'll begin at verse 17. Hebrews chapter 3. And verse 17. And Sister Haddock and Brother Haddock come back. Unless Jason did it, make sure the recording gets started. Thumbs up. Look at that, my man. Let's get Brother Jason Rivera here. I know he like, come on, Pastor. Come on, come on. Why you see, that's why. See? He knew I could mess with him. All right. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Only supposed to be 11 days, but it ended up being 40 years. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Whom he swore that he should not enter to his rest, but to them that believed not. So we see they could not enter because of their unbelief. Now go backwards. Go to verse 7. All right. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today. Everyone say today. Today. If you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. As in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of what? Unbelief. And departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you should be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Jesus, we ask you to speak to us. Enlighten every single one of us here. Again, allow revelation to move inside of our spirit so that we are empowered to walk in the promises of God and not see them pass us by. There are men and women here that are ready to receive something more, ready to go and cross the River Jordan and walk in the promises that you have given to them. So I want you to release this word. In Jesus' name, please clap your hands as you are seated here in the presence of the Lord. You may be seated. Hebrews is a book presented to Jewish believers to give them a comparative view of how Jesus and the work that he did on the cross began a new covenant, and that this new covenant is so much better than the old covenant. This was and is important because human nature tends to stay with what is familiar, though it may be something that is no longer functioning properly. A lot of people are not able to walk in what God wants them because they are stuck in old things when God is trying to get them to recognize the new things he's trying to do in their lives. Throughout the New Testament, he is constantly presenting his case of how the new is better than the old. The old covenant came by Moses, while the new covenant came by Jesus Christ. The old covenant enslaves, while the new covenant makes free the man and gives us freedom. The old covenant leaves man imperfect, while the new covenant leaves man perfect. The old covenant exposes sin, while the new covenant covers sin. The old covenant is a ministry of death, but the new covenant is a ministry of life. The old covenant brings a curse, while the new covenant redeems from the curse. In the old covenant, living is by works, but in the new covenant, living is by faith. In the old covenant, it is a shadow of what the new covenant says is the reality. The old covenant is covered, praise God, gloria, while the new covenant is the glory uncovered. The glory of God can now be revealed in every single heart in the New Testament. The old covenant makes priests by the law, while the new covenant makes priests by oath. The old covenant had an earthly tabernacle, while the new tabernacle or covenant has a heavenly one. In the Old Testament, it was written in stone tablets, while in the new covenant, it is written on the tables of our hearts. The old covenant is a covenant of letter, while the new covenant is a covenant of the spirit. The old covenant needed an offering for sin, while in the new covenant, Jesus Christ had become the perfect sacrificial offering for each and every one of our sins. The old covenant needed statutes and ordinances, while the new covenant only needs hearts. In the old covenant, the tabernacle was made with hands, while in the new covenant, the tabernacle is made without hands. In the old covenant, it remembers sins, but in the new covenant, our sins are remembered no more. The old covenant was written in ink, while the new covenant is written with the Spirit of God. And the old covenant was only for the Israelites, but in the New Testament, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Aren't you glad we're not under the old covenant anymore? Aren't you glad that Jesus left his robe in heaven and came down and said, I have a new way for you now? And because the New Testament is greater than the Old Covenant, the writer of Hebrews is wanting to highlight something that took place in the Old Testament that took place and use what happened then to speak to those that are here today to avoid what happened to them. He wanted to convey that if you're going to take advantage of the greater things that God has for us in the New Testament, there is something that we need to avoid repeating from the Old Testament. Many of us are wanting to conquer things and get over previous barriers. Someone say amen. But there is something that wants to make sure in your life and in my life that it never, ever happens. In spiritual matters and spiritual progression, there is something that says, not yet, not this way and not now. This thing is something that causes so much displeasure in God and delays the blessings that we desire, and we not yet even realize how much it can work against us. But if there is something working against me and you in regards to my spiritual progression, then I want it exposed. I want to see what it is. I want it to come to light, and I want to address it, because I want to be empowered to defeat anything that will hinder me from what God desires for my life. Can someone say that's right? Many people are missing out because of doubt. The title of my message this morning is called The Delayer Called Doubt. He reminds his Jewish readers of the book of Psalms, and he repeats this warning. He says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness. He says in Hebrews 3:15, while it is said today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So let me teach you a little while what in the world the word provocation means, right? The word provocation is a translation of a Hebrew word called meribah. And the word tempted is a translation of the Hebrew word masah. So please let me explain and help you understand. These are two actual locations in the Old Testament. The first is found in Exodus chapter 17. At this point, the Lord has already brought his people out of Egypt, which is, hear me right now, a type of sin. Egypt and the location of it was a type or a representation of sin. With so many great miracles, God brought them out of sin. Someone say amen. And at this point, God had already shown them that even in the wilderness, he is going to provide for them. Maybe right now you feel like you are going through a dark time. Maybe right now you feel like you are facing an experience that feels like there's wilderness and a desert and no life around you. I'm going to tell you that in the middle of your wilderness experiences, God is always going to provide for you. God's always going to give you help and strength to tell you you're going to make it, you're going to be all right, and things are going to get better. Someone say that's right. God will take us through wilderness experiences after great miracles that he has shown. We know the story that he parted the Red Sea. We know previous to that, he allowed 10 great signs and wonders to happen. Let me tell you, initially, God will show you great signs, miracles, and wonders. But that does not mean you still won't go through a wilderness after God has shown himself great in your life. But what I got to tell you is when those wilderness experiences come, know that God has already shown you, I am a miracle worker. If I did it before, I am going to do it again. And in your wilderness experience, you can look behind you and say, God brought us out of Egypt with a mighty, great, strong hand. But he is going to allow us to have times where we don't know his full plan in order to see whether or not we are going to keep on walking by faith and not by sight to get where he wants us to eventually to go. So let me tell you this right now. Do not allow your wilderness experiences to shake your faith and cause you to doubt. You are going to go through some times where it seems like God is nowhere to be found. But in those wilderness experiences, don't lose your faith and don't lose your hope in God. Previous to this, in Exodus 16, in the wilderness, which was a barren place, after they're delivered, they begin to murmur and they begin to complain of their hunger. Have you ever seen God do great things for you, and in the next month, there's no God to be found? And they began to complain of where they physically were at that moment. And they began to murmur of where they were physically in the natural in that moment. And they began to complain of their hunger. And the Lord lets them know now that he is going to provide bread for them in the middle of their desert. God is always going to provide bread for you in the middle of your wilderness. God is not going to allow you to die and be frustrated. He says, I will send manna from heaven. What am I trying to say already this morning? That when you show up to the house of God, there's some fresh manna that God wants to feed your spirit. When you show up to the house of God, you're saying, Lord, I've been tired. I've been weary. I got so much mess going on in my life. But let the manna come down and breathe life into me. Speak a word from heaven in the middle of my wilderness. And if you are in the wilderness right now, it is a place you need to be ready to receive the word of God. If you're going through a hard time right now, you are in the right place to receive a word from God. In times and moments and days and seasons like this, this is where you should say, if I get a word from God, everything is going to be all right. It is vital to get your daily bread. It's vital to get your word that comes from heaven. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And so God sends provision, watch this, for 6 days. And on the sixth day, they are going to gather enough bread for the seventh day. Number one, we understand that God is always going to give you enough for what you need in the moment you're in right now. Let me tell you, God has a word to get you through your day every single day. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God has a word for that day to tell you, I got something that will give you hope in the middle of your mess. But he says, on the sixth day, gather enough bread for the seventh day, which was their Sabbath. The Lord was telling them, I am always going to give you enough word to last you through times where I am calling you to trust in my previous word. You see, some went out on that seventh day looking for a word to sustain them. But God is saying, sometimes when you feel like you don't have a new word, I've already gave you a double portion before to make sure in that current moment everything is going to be all right. That's why sometimes you got to go back and listen to other words you already got and remind yourself that if he told me it was going to be all right then, when I feel like I'm abandoned right now, no, you're not. He gave you enough word to get you through that next day, that next season. You're going through a new trial right now. God has given you more than enough. It's already not in your mouth. God will always provide enough for you to have. There are too many people that are trying to search for some new word when God is saying, all you have to do today is get a hold of what I've already provided for you in advance. Some of you are struggling, but you've forgot former words that God has already given to you. I need to remind some people of some promises that God has already spoken to your life. Come on, right now you might be going through a dry moment, but don't you stay there. God has already given you a word that tells you, I'm going to keep on pushing. I'm going to keep on going, because God's word will not return void. It would do exactly what it was there to be sent to do. And so if you have not got a new word, that's all right. Take a hold of what God provided you in your past to get you through your current moment. And on the daily provision, some were trying to keep the bread because they didn't think that the next word would be on time when they got hungry again during the first 6 days. But then the Bible says the bread that they tried to keep bred worms and stank. In other words, you cannot keep on living on yesterday's blessing. You can't keep living on yesterday's anointing, last week's anointing. Today you got to say, I want more. I got to have a new word from God. I want a new thing for God to speak. Oh, come on, somebody. There has to be something in yourself that says, God, stir me up today. Give me hope today. Turn my mind around today. Because if I keep on living on old things in my past, it will breed worms and it will stink. Every year, and Rodney hates it, there's always maggots inside of the trash can in the heat. My imagination tells me it was maggots that bred inside those worms. Maggots show up in places where people leave garbage out and trash and not put it away properly. Some of you are breeding worms because you've not yet properly put away the trash in your life. You need to put that trash under the blood of Jesus and leave it there and tell your enemy, if God has cleansed me, he has forgotten all of my sins. He remembers them no more. Come on, wave your hand and say, I've been blood bought. I've been forgiven. I'm not allowed breeding worms to happen in my life. The grace and the mercy of God is here for me right now. And devil, you are a liar. I'm a newborn child in the house of God, and I'm thankful that there's no condemnation in my life. Guilt, shame, and fear, get out, because I got a word from God. You got to be able to put away yesterday's lifestyle mindsets and walk in what God has for you today. And people who live lives that stink because they refuse to let go of yesterday's problems and yesterday's issues. Can I tell you today, God has a new strategy for whatever you are going through in your life. I don't care what you're dealing with right now. God has a strategy to get you out of what you're in. Is there anybody here that says, God, give me new strategies, create options? Come on. God wants to give you options. God wants to give you open doors. God wants to tell you, you're not stuck in your past. I got a door I'm going to open that no man can shut. Are you hearing me today? God is about to open some new doors in your life. If you believe it, clap your hands and say, open doors. Open doors. I speak it right now. Doors you think are shut are about to open because of the word of God that's unfolding in your life. When you look at it, Exodus 17, they're complaining and they're murmuring again. And it was Moses, their peer. Yet the Bible says it was complaining and murmuring against God. They thought they were murmuring against Moses, their peer. But God interpreted it as, you're complaining against me. Sometimes when you're thinking things are horizontal, they're actually vertical. Because people are not your problem. It has to be the vertical situation. So long as my vertical is right, I'm going to deal with the people right. So watch. When you murmur and complain to those that are around you in the difficulties of your wilderness, God takes offense to it, like you doubt that he's able to get you through it. You wonder why I'm so serious when I talk to you guys and I say stop complaining and stop being negative? It's not an insult to me. Who cares about me? You're insulting God. By you literally murmuring and complaining, you're looking at God and saying, God, you can't do it. God, you cannot provide water in a wilderness. And some of you have lost your worship, lost your passion, lost your desire, because you have said internally that God can't provide in the middle of a desert. Well, let me tell you, God showed him and says, that ain't gonna work with me. And watch what he does. He tells Moses, go smite the rock, and water shall come out of it that people may drink. The principle here is the rock is the man, Christ Jesus. And when he was smitten on a cross, he says, I'm a God that can do anything. I'm not gonna stay in this grave for 3 days. I'm gonna get up again and tell you, if I got up out of a grave, then what is in your life is too hard for me. I tell you right now, there is nothing too hard for God. I'll provide water out of the middle of an impossible situation. Are you going through an impossible moment right now? Then don't you bicker. Don't you complain. Say, my God is able. I say, my God is able to provide water in the middle of an impossible situation. And the name of that situation was given because God gave them names based on experiences they had. Hear me right now. God would give labels to experiences that they had. Have you ever gone through something and you wanted to label it to remind you of the experience? And God told them, call the name of that place Massah.
and Meribah, or tempted and provoked because of the provoking of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? That was the question that they said. But many of us say the same question. Is the Lord really with me? Is God really on my side? Yeah, I know he brought me from a mighty long way. But right now, God, I'm thirsty. Right now, I'm facing marital issues. Right now, I'm facing all kind of pulls and things that are dragging me down and all kind of chaos in my mind and my spirit and my heart. And sometimes we say, God, are you really among us? That was one place he called Meribah. The next one, I'm going to summarize it quickly here. Again, they needed water again. And the Lord told Moses, speak to the rock. Don't smite it. But not only did he smite the rock, he smote it twice. And that was something that angered God to the point he told Moses and Aaron, because you did not believe me and sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you should not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Now, we could read that real quick, but then you got to slow down. Like, wait a minute. I find it interesting in the scripture. God did not say, because you did not obey me. God says, because you did not believe me. Wait a minute. God, you told me to speak to the rock. I smote the rock twice. God, I disobeyed you. The Lord says, no, I don't look at it as disobedience. I look at it as an issue of doubt and unbelief. We think we're disobeying God. God sees it as, nope, you don't believe me.
Help us, Holy Ghost.
The Lord was saying to Moses, the true issue was this. You got frustrated and you smote that situation and you got angry in that moment and you did things your own way, not because you disobeyed me, but deep down in your heart, Moses, you really don't believe in my power and my ability to change a difficult situation. What am I saying? Many of us are frustrated with our lives right now. And we're smiting things. We're retaliating. We're using anger. We're frustrated. We're lashing out. And the Lord is saying, you know why you're doing that? Because you don't believe me. And because you don't believe me, your progress is being delayed. There are some places you should already be in, but they're delayed because you don't believe in me. You are still in these cycling experiences in your wilderness, waiting till you get to your promise. But when things are not going your way, you're lashing out and it's showing your unbelief. What happened to simply praising me in the middle of your darkest moments? What happened to saying, no matter what goes on, God will make a way. Praise God for me. And Moses, I'm not saying that you don't obey me. I'm saying you don't believe in me. By your actions, it shows your unbelief. Americans are so big on their words and so small on their actions. We speak such a big game and no sustenance to back it up. We say things to people that we want them to hear just to get them off our back with no intention of following through. And God is saying, that is what's hindering you from walking in what I want you to walk in. So fast forward to Hebrews and listen again to the warning. Hebrews 3:14, for we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it would have said, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart like in those days of provocation. situation. Moses, I know you went through a long wilderness experience, but you have to hold to the beginning of your confidence. Don't you remember that burning bush? Come on, somebody. You got to go back to the original experience that you had with God. God showed you something impossible. And so when you get to a moment that it seems impossible, go back to the beginning. Don't lose your original confidence. When you first put your faith in Jesus Christ, He's the same God that worked in the beginning to what you are dealing with right now. And God is saying, I'm trying to get you out of where you are now and take you further, but you got to remove unbelief. The same faith you had when you held up that rod, Moses, where's that faith at right now? There were moments in your life when you had great faith. God is looking for it right now in the middle of all the imperfect surroundings you got right now. God has allowed wilderness experiences to happen to get you to get swifter in looking to Him to be your helper. But you're delayed because of your doubt. The whelk is a little ocean creature, and he can ruin an oyster's day. The whelk has an appendage that works like a corkscrew, with which it can bore a small hole in the top of an oyster's shell. Then through this very small hole, a whelk can devour an entire oyster. It simply sucks it out, little by little, until the oyster is gone. A little doubt in your life would do that to each and every one of us. A little doubt will suck the faith in what God has planned for us and cause us to sit and waver in disbelief rather than stand and walk in the promises of God. We have to shake off that spirit and shake off everything that will harden us and say, no, there's something greater that God has already spoken in my life, and I'm going to hear His voice. I'm going to listen to God's drawing. And again, God has a solution to whatever I'm dealing with. I cannot harden my heart, but I'm going to say, speak, Lord. Your servant is listening. And again, God has strategies to get you out of your valley experiences. God has a word He wants to get to you, but you got to be listening and not harden your heart. If you're doing things your way, it's what's causing you to be delayed to get to the destination that God's trying to lead you to. Mary was the first person that Jesus revealed Himself to, Mary Magdalene, after the resurrection. Could it be the reason why she was the first one to receive the greatest revelation of a resurrected Savior was because she had 7 demons cast out of her? If you read the scripture closely, disciples had doubt and unbelief because you don't read where they were brought up out of anything. But if anybody has been brought through something, if there's anybody that's had some storms and some rains and some addictions, you might be the first ones that God, y'all ain't even hearing me this morning. And God is saying, I'm not looking for the one that has the best past and has everything all together, but the one I revealed myself to was one that said, if he had the power to bring out 7 demons out of me, then he has the power to get up out of a grave. Are you hearing what I'm saying right now? If God has ever brought you out of something, I'm preaching the word of God right now. If God has ever made a way, if God has ever provided for you, if ever God has brought you out, if God has ever done a great thing in your life, then you should say, I know that I know that I know that today God can do it again. If He, come on somebody, if He did it before, He'll do it again. If He made a way before, He'll make a way today. I'm excited because God can do anything. And the revelation of the disciples was delayed because of doubt. Is there anybody here that I'm tired of my miracle being delayed? I'm tired of things being withheld from me. Is there anybody here? I'm done. That will stand on your feet and say, I want it. I don't want no more delays. I believe. I believe. I believe. With your voice, open your mouth. Say, I believe. Come on, lift your voice. Let them know you're able. If you've ever been delivered, you are a perfect candidate for revelation. If you ever had a disease, if you ever had perversion, if you ever had an addiction, if you ever had seven demons, then Jesus says, I'm going to reveal myself to you because you know. Oh, come on. Come on, somebody. You know who you were before God touched you. You know where you've been and what you've done before God touched you. You know how lost you were, how sick you were before God touched you. And so we did it before. He can do it again. Stand on your feet this morning. God is here right now. He's present to reveal something greater, built upon what he's already done. Mary, it's me. Go tell the disciples.
Break you to position you, break you
in the New Testament,
you, break you to put you in your right place,
Jesus.
But when he breaks you, he doesn't hurt you, he doesn't,
Jairus.
When he breaks you, he doesn't destroy.
No more need to come, Jairus. Your daughter's already dead.
Gracefully broken where
there was an interruption by the woman with the issue of blood.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
So somebody else's blessing has just hindered yours. Somebody else's miracle has just stopped yours.
Just lift your worship.
Somebody else's open door has made yours shut. So don't bother Jesus anymore. Don't call and reach out to him anymore. Your situation is too late. Your situation is too far gone. And people want to speak those things into your life. You know who else? Ourselves. Ourselves say, you don't know how bad it is right now. She's dead. Overhearing. They weren't even talking to Jesus, but he overheard. And Jesus said, don't be afraid. Just believe. Someone right now, you're thinking about the message, and you're thinking about your reality. You're thinking about how hard your personal struggle is. And there's a fight internally of what you think you're going to do later on. And I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And he went there. And people were crying and wailing loudly. There's so many noises that we hear that wants to hinder what we want to have in God. So many distractions that are pulling us to negativity and voices of doubt all around, even with good intention. But Jesus says, why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead but asleep. And they laughed at him. Some people come to church and they laugh at what we do and laugh at our worship and laugh at our praise, but they don't know our God. Like Jesus said, you don't know who I am. I got all the power. I can resurrect dead situations. So no more delaying. What did he have to do? He pushed all the doubters out. Come on, everyone, start doing this. Come on. Start pushing some doubters out of your life. Start pushing some people out of your life that don't know the God that you serve, and start saying, when doubting departs, shouting is going to start. When doubting gets blown away, God is going to say, Talitha Kum, which means little girl, I say unto you, I speak a word to you, get up. And today somebody's going to rise higher. I said, somebody today, Jesus, in your impossible situation, is going to lift you up. No, it won't be by your own power. No, it won't be by your own strength. But it will be simply saying, God, I just believe. All over this place right now, I want you to lift your hands to Him. Help remove fear. I speak against doubt. I speak against all the lies of the enemy that will try to keep in and women the things that they're dealing with are impossible. No, I will not be delayed anymore. I will not be held back anymore. I remove fear and doubt. I say, delay or doubt, move out of my life. And I say, Jesus, let your will be done. Let your power flow. Let the Holy Ghost take over my situation. Say, I surrender your power, God. I will not fear, I will not doubt, but I will call the name of the Lord to make a way in my situation. Get up, get up, get up, rise, get up, push back, get up, push, get up, don't stay back, don't stay back, walk towards your promise, walk towards your miracle. Open up these altars to whosoever will, to somebody who says, I'm ready to go beyond and with delaying the situation of my life. I'm walking forward in faith. That's it. Come on down. Move on the altars. Move on the aisles. And say, Lord, I believe. Yeah.
This love is an everyday kind.